May I speak and may we all hear by the power of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I first saw the reading set for today, my immediate reaction, perhaps understandably, was that I would be preaching about the whole armour of God from the epistle reading. However, after reflecting and praying about it, I feel called to speak more about the gospel reading from John chapter 6. Over the past 2 years, Holy Communion has meant more to me than previously during my life and ministry. This is largely because of an address which a retired minister, a retired Baptist pastor, Jim Graham, gave at a Christian conference several years ago. He spoke again to this year's conference and finished up the week speaking about Holy Communion again and leading a communion service. Again, it was really very meaningful. He simply encouraged us to look beyond the symbolism of bread and wine, important though this is to remind us of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ for our sins, of course, but also to imagine that Jesus himself was offering us the bread and wine at the Last Supper, as he did to his disciples, imagining a personal encounter with Jesus. Now, Jesus gave quite a lot of teaching about himself as the bread of life, and was clearly referring to himself as being as, or more important, to our spiritual lives, as bread was as a staple food for the physical lives of his hearers. At the beginning of John 6, of course, we read about the feeding of the 5,000, when Jesus not only demonstrated or fulfilled the physical needs of his followers, but he demonstrated his divine power by multiplying the bread and the fishes. There's a verse earlier on, a little bit before our reading started, where Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Jesus followed the feeding of the 5,000 with quite a lot of teaching about himself being the bread of life for believers, just as important as the manna from heaven was to the Israelites in the wilderness exodus from Egypt. As the manna in the desert was a response from God to meet the physical needs of his people to continue their earthly lives, so Jesus as the bread of life is a gift from God to satisfy the spiritual needs of his people and to give us eternal life forever. I think we may miss out something when in the Lord's Prayer we just see asking our Father God to give us our daily bread as asking for the provision of our physical needs. We could, and perhaps should, see it also as asking for a deeper awareness of Jesus as the bread of life, feeding our faith and our spiritual needs. The reference to the breaking of bread, as indeed with the breaking of bread in the communion service, of course represents the breaking up of Jesus' body and his suffering and crucifixion as a necessary sacrifice for the sins of the world. Jesus went on to say that we need to eat this bread in order to have his life within us. Now, this statement has led some sections in the Christian church to see the eating of bread at communion as literally eating Jesus' flesh, which of course is abhorrent and nonsense to most of us. But we mustn't go too far the other way, as I said earlier. It is more important than just simple symbolism. Jesus was clearly trying to convince his followers that they needed to absorb him into themselves as the divine power and experience of God, as actually embodied in himself, for their spiritual nourishment, just as they needed to absorb bread into themselves to satisfy their physical needs. The missing ingredient for many people outside the church, and even some within it, is a faith in Jesus as the revealed Son of God, whose body was broken and killed as a sacrifice for the sins of all people, including you and me. Jesus also seems to have made it clear that no one can come to faith in him unless, quote, the Father calls him. It is God's gracious tap on our shoulder, as it were, and our response to it that opens up our minds to faith in Jesus. We may think that this is our initiative that brings us to come to faith in Jesus, when it is really our response to God's call in our lives. Or to put it another way, it is us noticing that God is attempting to rekindle his spirit that is within us. After all, we read in the Bible that we're all made, all human beings are made in God's image. So there must be something of God, of his Spirit, in each and every human being. I believe our Father God wants to ignite that awareness in each of us, and he was prepared to sacrifice his Son to make that possible. Of course, as we read in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, faith in God is part of the armour expressed as a shield. Faith is part of the spiritual armour we need to shield us from evil and from the ungodly influences we shall face in this life. Sometimes I feel that some of believing Christians, and this is probably true of me in the past too, miss out on the two aspects of faith. One is clearly belief in Jesus as the Son of God, who, as I say, died on the cross to save us from the consequence of our sins when we are born again spiritually. But the other is faith as a gift of the Holy Spirit, which Paul refers to in chapter 12 of his first letter to the Corinthians. It's clear that Paul was actually writing to Christian believers in Corinth, so he must have meant something more than just simple belief in God. And I believe that that gift of faith is actually faith expressed and experienced as trust in God at all times, in addition to belief. Paul was writing, of course, as I say, to believing Christians, so he was clearly referring to something other than simple belief. So there are two sides to faith, belief and trust. These two aspects of faith are referred to in the question asked in the baptism service. Do you believe and trust in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? So as you prepare to come up to take bread and wine at communion later in this service, may I suggest that you ask God for a special revelation of Jesus as you receive and consume the bread and wine into your own physical body, and that Jesus, by his Spirit, may refresh you spiritually and give you a deeper awareness of God's presence and his purposes for you in your life, to enable you to have a deeper and more confident belief and trust in him. I would like to conclude this brief address by reading the words of a song which was a favourite of my first wife, Margaret, who died when she was 62, and which we sang at her funeral. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall not thirst. No one can come to me unless the Father calls him. And I will raise you up. I will raise you up. I will raise you up on the last day. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. And if you eat of this bread, you shall live forever. I am the resurrection. I am the life. If you believe in me, even though you die, you shall live forever. And then the final verse, we're invited to respond, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the revelation of yourself and your Son Jesus in so many ways, through your creation, through your word in Scripture, through the lives of other Christians and the words they may share with us. But we also believe, Lord, and ask you to enable us to experience you as we come up to communion and to receive bread and wine, as indeed you gave bread and wine at the Last Supper. Amen.